Hi, this is Colleen Wainwright, aka the Communicatrix, and I have a little Halloween treat for you. At least I hope it's a treat and not a trick. Over this past weekend, I performed at a friend of mine's sort of like a literary stand-up night. She's been doing this monthly event for a few years now to both get out and get some good, we hope, performers together, writing stuff and doing stuff and performing stuff and gather people to listen to them, and also to raise money for various charities that she organizes for via her church group. She's a really neat lady. Also very fine actress, Jane Edith Wilson. You can go look her up on the IMDb. She's very famous, done many things. Anyway, I am not very famous, but we know each other from way back, and every once in a while, because of something like Facebook deniers and non-believers, people wind up hooking up again, and we hooked up again, and she said, hey, I'm doing this thing. Anyone want to do it? She sent it out to all her actor friends, and I guess I'm still on the list, even though I'm not acting anymore. And I went and did it and had a great time. So this was October. They do it once a month, and they have a theme, and everyone writes a 10-minute or less piece on whatever the theme is. And this month's theme, of course, had to be Halloween-y, so it was scary monsters. So I wrote this little story, which I hope you will enjoy, which I call Scary Monsters. From the time I was 6 or 7 when I first learned about drugs, I've had nightmares about being spirited away against my will. The one I had all through childhood was set in Chicago, right across from the apartment I grew up in. Only this is a dream, so it's an abandoned post-apocalyptic Chicago from hell, only with more Mies van der Rohe buildings. So in this dream, I'm walking alone trying to get somewhere safe, when all of a sudden out of nowhere, two shadowy figures sidle up to me, one on my right and one on my left, and before I can scream, they stick me with a hypodermic needle to knock me out, but not before I realize, oh my god, they're sticking me with a hypodermic needle full of drugs, and they're gonna kidnap me and do god knows what, dot, dot, dot. In the other version of this dream, I'm walking in another urban landscape, some street in the San Fernando Valley here in Los Angeles, only again with no people. Just like a suburban street in the San Fernando Valley. I walk kind of fast in my dreams, just like I do in real life, because I have these really, really, really short legs in proportion to my size. So I'm gaining on the only other pedestrian, this 1950s-era hipster dude, plaid fedora, narrow pants, dusty green suit coat, who smells just a little like bum. And I know he's not a bum, but I also know something's off. In the dream, I think, I should cross the street, but I'm afraid that'll be too obvious and it'll offend him because we're the only two people. Plus, he's African-American, and I definitely don't want him to think I'm crossing because he's black, because I'm not. I'm just crossing because I'm someone who's 5'2 with really, really short legs, and I'm getting a hinky feeling, and I have no ability to defend myself. And just as I'm passing him and thinking, oh, this is all in my head, he swoops me up in his arms and heaves me sideways like I'm a stack of human firewood and starts crossing the street toward an old Impala I somehow know is right there just out of my field of vision the way you do in dreams. And as I open my mouth to scream, he wedges his arm in there to muffle me, and all I can taste is wool and fear and this certainty that God knows what is going to happen to me. Dot, dot, dot. That's the thing that always scares me the most, you know, the God knows what, dot, 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 because you never know what they want from you, these scary monsters that jump you in stairways or stalk you in parking garages or troll the streets of quiet neighborhoods at night looking for houses with the most cash and the least security. The BF, whom I call that both because he is my BF and those are his initials, he lives in one of those houses. It's a beautiful, rambling old place in a quiet, undisclosed location. By day. By night, at least when I'm alone there, it turns into a creaky, gothic house of horrors straight out of a Stephen King novel, which I learned for myself, by myself, the first time I slept there all alone. The BF had gone out of town on business or to visit his kids, so I did the logical thing and Noah offered up his place to my ladies for a semi-regular get-together. It may be a little creepy, the house, but it has this bitchin' deck that's perfect for drinking cheap wine from Trader Joe's while solving the world's problems. Plus, whoever hosts doesn't have to drive, which allows for more drinking of cheap wine. When your ladies leave, though, and it occurs to you that you're going to be alone in this beautiful, rambling old house with its creaky-ass floors and overly ample egress, well, by then it's too late. You're too full of cheap Cabernet to drive yourself home to your safe, snug one-bedroom rental with your nosy across-the-courtyard neighbor who has the police on speed dial. So you lock things up, and you go to bed. Naked. Because you are me, and I am stupid. I have no idea what time it was when I awoke, suddenly, and with my heart pounding, both because I don't sleep with my glasses on and because the clock is on the other side of the bed, which I can't roll over to because the reason I have awoken is that there is someone in the hall just outside the bedroom, standing there, staring at me quietly. I can't make out her face exactly, except to see that it's narrow and pale and framed by long straight hair parted down the middle. I lift my head slowly, carefully, almost imperceptibly, I hope, to get a better look. A woman in loose-fitting clothing, one hand lightly touching the wall, is watching me, dead still, like a hippie Modigliani. And then, although I can barely hear it over the pounding of blood in my head, I faintly make out whispering further off down the hall. She jerks her head away as I drop mine back on the pillow. Okay, first, this is not a dream. In a dream, when things get scary, you wake yourself up, which, believe me, I tried to do here repeatedly. So, this is bad. This is really bad. I am lying in bed, still slightly buzzed, with no phone in arm's reach. Plus, I'm naked, because I'm stupid. And my robe is at the foot of the bed. If I sit up to get it, she'll see me move and call to whoever's down the hall. If I reach for anything, she'll see me and maybe call to whoever's down the hall. I'm totally, utterly fucked. I decide to at least try for my glasses so I can assess the situation. I lift my head slowly, slowly. As the hall comes into my field of vision, she's there again, staring back at me. They must have made her the lookout. She leans in a little closer, maybe seeing me moving. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Our eyes lock. We're staring right at each other. You could hear a pin drop, only not if you're me, because now the blood is pounding so hard in my head I can hear nothing but my imminent death galloping down the road to meet me. So I did the only thing I could do. I went to sleep. Now, I didn't actually go to sleep. What I actually did was lie back down and play possum. Let her fucking watch me. Let him steal everything in the whole fucking house that's not nailed down. I heard something go thud toward the front of the house. Fine, let it. Let them set the house on fire and leave me. I would not move until they were gone. Only I guess all the worry and stress and whatnot finally wore me out, because the next thing I knew I was waking up and it was light out. I lay there for a minute, getting my bearings. I was alive, that was good. Still naked. Okay. The house was standing, it even looked like there was still stuff in it. I put on my glasses and sat up to reach for my robe. As I did, I saw her again in the hall. Only it wasn't her. It was me. My own stupid reflection in my own stupid mirror that I had stupidly leaned up against a wall in the hallway the day before. I leaned in, she leaned in. I leaned back, she leaned back. I don't know what the hell all the creaks and thuds were. Usual old house groans and moans, I guess. Since then, I've done a few things. First is a lot of thinking. I'm pretty sure the dreams represent a fear of change in general and the unknown in particular, but it's definitely me afraid after the sun goes down of things over which I have no control. I'm working on it with my shrink, and with luck, I might vanquish some of these fears before the lights actually do get turned out on me for good. But the other things I did were moving that damn mirror and getting a dog that sleeps in the room with me. Scary monsters may be imaginary, but it doesn't mean you don't fight them with everything that's real.